Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Pei Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, 15 lines from the top. You'll notice a Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav, the upper third of the Daf. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us look at the side under our topic heading that we call the Nosei, where we've written, Bayis She'ozvu Oisoi Ba'olov Lifnei Shabbos, a house that's in a courtyard, and the owner of this particular house left it before Shabbos. Ha'im hu Oiser B'cholzois al Hashar B'chotzer Oiloi. Does he impose any restrictions on those that remain in the courtyard? Or, since he's not there, maybe he doesn't create any restriction. Of course, when we speak about a restriction, we're talking about a case where he did not contribute to the Eruv, but he is currently absent from the Chotzer. So the Mishnah. Haminiach by Beso v'holach lishbos b'racheres. A person who left his house and spent Shabbos in another city, Echod Nochri Vechod Yisrael, Hare Ze Oser, Divrei Rebbe Meir. Whether it be a Nochri, a non-Jew, or a Jew, he imposes a restriction. In other words, if he doesn't contribute to the Eruv, he creates a restriction on the rest. Rebbe Meir is of the opinion that a Diro below Bailim, a dwelling without its owner, is nevertheless considered a dwelling, and as such has to contribute to the Eruv. Rabbi Huda Omer, Eino Oser. Rabbi Huda is of the opposite opinion, namely that if the owner is not there, a dwelling that's uninhabited is not considered a dwelling, with regard, of course, to this legal consideration of an Eruv Chatzeros. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nochri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser. Now, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that a dira below Bailim is not considered a dira. A nochri, however, who left, will impose a restriction because there is a fear he may come back on Shabbos, being that he is a non-Jew. He has no travel restrictions, so that he might not be there at the beginning of Shabbos, but he could come back. Yisrael, however, a Jew does not aser. She'ein Yisrael, she'ein derech Yisrael lovoi b'Shabbos. It's not the common way of Jews to travel on Shabbos. When we speak about travel, of course, we're talking about traveling by foot. But once a Jew leaves his place, his home, for Shabbos, he is not expected, or his return is not anticipated. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu hiniach beiso v'holach lishbos etzel bito v'oiso ho'ir eino oser. Rabbi Shimon illustrates this point of a Jew leaving his house. He will not come back, even if he went to spend Shabbos by his daughter and son-in-law in the same city. Shekvar hisi'a milibo. Rashi says hisi'ach diras beiso milibo. He's put out of his mind his own house as his Shabbos dwelling. Omar Rav. Now we look at the Gemara. Omar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. The halacha will follow Rabbi Shimon, who is quite lenient in the sense that even if the Jew can return to his house, he is not anticipated his return is unanticipated, and therefore he does not impose a restriction. The Dafka Bito, the example in the Mishnah, is not just a mere example, but it is the specific case of his going to someone in town. We say specifically his daughter. There he will remain for all of Shabbos. Avo Benolo, but when it comes to his son and daughter-in-law, there we don't have this leniency because there is a chance he will return. And an insight into human relations. The Amri and Shi people say, Novach boch kalbo oil. Novach boch guryasa pok. So we have to go back to our examples. The daughter and son-in-law. The son-in-law in this example is the kalbo. The kalbo is a male dog. So if a male dog barks at you, oil means go in. In other words, you don't have to pay attention to it. However, novach boch guryasa. Guryasa is the female dog. And that's the reference to one's daughter-in-law. If she starts barking, then get out, poke, get out. So, as we see in this insight, that it really depends which child you do go to in the same town. We continue with the new Mishnah, and at the same time, we want to open up our Pirush Chai. We want to look at Illustration 63, and you will notice this illustration features a pit, a bore between two chatzeros. We're looking at an illustration you can find on page 178 in the middle of the page of the Pirush Chai. The picture features two courtyards and a wall dividing the two courtyards. In the middle, you'll notice a pit. Now, the Mishnah. Bor shebein shtei chatzeres. Ein mimalin mimenu b'Shabbos. One cannot fill water up from the pit on Shabbos, because in effect, he's drawing water from the domain of his neighbor. And they cannot make an eruv joining their two courtyards together, because there is a wall between them, so you can't draw from the pit. Elohim kein osolo mechitza gvo asorot tfochim, unless a divider was made, and the divider has to have a height of 10 tfochim, bein milamato, bein mitoch ovno. Now, these terms, lamato and toch ovno, we'll see a more elaborate discussion about this in the Gemara itself. But one thing we must emphasize is that when we speak about making a mechitza of 10 tefachim, we are not, this Tana Kama, this first opinion in the Mishnah, is not relying on the existing wall that's mafsik between, that separates the two chatzeros, but rather something additional has to be made. And you can see examples of this. There's a cross-section diagram 64, which we can refer to right now, and also later in the Gemara. There's 64, and there are more possible illustrations of a mechitza that's constructed, and there are more, as on the top of page 179 in the Pirush Chai, there are more pictures of this. We continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Beis Shammai Omrim Milamato, Beis Hillel Omrim Milamalo. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the mechitza must be below, and Beis Hillel says it can be even above. Again, we're translating, but we have to wait for the Gemara to be more detailed. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Lo tei mechitza gedola min hakoisel shebeinehem. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that picture, that diagram 63, is enough. He is saying that if the wall is sufficient to separate the two courtyards, then the wall that runs over the pit, as it is in 63, without any additional construction, is also sufficient to divide the pit, so that when you're drawing from the pit, you are drawing from your half of the pit. Let us now turn to the Gemara. We want to have on hand the Pirush Chai, illustration 65, at the top of 179. We have opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda about what the meaning of the terms Lamalo and Lamato that were in the Mishnah. The topic heading on the side, you could see Nosei, Asiyas Mechitza Agabi Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, the construction of a divider running over a pit between two, the pit that's located between two courtyards, lahatir she'iva mimena l'chol echad, to allow each courtyard to draw from the pit. The diamond that you see is under our mivne heading, highlights a machlokes amoroyim bepirush machlokes beishamai ubeis hillel. We want to explain, and we will see a Amoreia controversy between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as to what Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were referring to when they spoke about Lamala and Lamata. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Lamata, the term Lamata of Beis Shammai is Lamata Mamish. Lamata Mamish means that the fence or the wall that you want to construct is below at the below at the surface of the water. The bottom edge of this mechitza does not have to touch the water, but it has to be below inside, as you can see in 65. Try to see the illustration that is marked Aleph. It's the second illustration on the top, as you second from the right. That's Lamata Mamish. And again, it's a cross section. So you're looking at the cross section of the wall, right, touching the surface of the water. And the term Lamata means down inside the interior of the pit, down below, touching, right at the surface of the water. Lamala, the Gemara continues, is Lamala Mamish. Vezev vezev bebor. Lamala Mamish means up to the edge of the bor, but in both cases, the wall, the mechitza that's being constructed, is within the airspace of the pit. It's from the rim of the pit inwards. And as we said, those are illustrations, the first two illustrations on the right-hand side of the series of four illustrations, the first two. We continue in the Gemara. V'rav Yehuda Omar. Lamata of Beis Shammai is Lamata min Hamayim. That means it's wedged into the floor of the pit. And you can see that is illustrated in Gimel. Illustration Gimel, at the top of 179. And Lamala, the term Lamala of Beis Hillel, Lamala min Hamayim. It's above the water. The edge doesn't have to touch the water, but it's not above in the near the surface of the pit, but rather it's above the surface of the water. This Lamala min Hamayim would be of base of Reb Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel would be like Rav Huna's version of Lamata that he gave for Beis Shammai. Omar Lei Rabo Bar Rav Chonon Labaye. There is a question that takes a couple lines to develop, and we've noted it as such. And the marking that we see, the triangle, we've featured on the side under our Mivneh heading, where we've noted Kushos al Yi'ilus Hamachitza Umeshutuf Lukushos. The expression ha arivi maya. We're going to be questioning the effectiveness of these walls to divide the pit, and you'll see there's a common theme in these questions, and there's a running number scheme that we have as well to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see here on this omid there are three questions, and the questioning continues to the top of Omid Beis, where you will notice in each question the problem is ha arivi maya. You notice the little house shape around the word ha, and we dashed underlined arivi maya. The problem is that when you're suggesting making these fences or these dividers in the pit, but the waters still mix. In other words, the water being a fluid, so that the water that I'm drawing right now from my side of the fence, so to speak, may very well have come from your side of the fence. It's really, in effect, I'm drawing water from your, originally was on your side, and now I'm drawing it into my side. And as far as the rules of Eruv Chatzeros are concerned, I would be in violation of taking from one domain to another. So now let's see the series of questions. Omar le Rabo bar Rav Honon le Abaye. Ha de Omar Rav Yehuda. Lamato, lamato minamayim. According to Rav Yehuda's version of Beis Shammai, that lamato was wedged into the bottom of the pit. And we said that the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim, and 10 tefachim wedged into the bottom of the pit. My shno lamato mamish doloi. What is the, why is it that you did not say, now lamata mamish means within the pit, near the water. The term mamish might be confusing for some of you, but it means simply within something like illustration, the second illustration of the mechitza coming to the surface of the water. So we're saying when you interpreted lamata meaning like illustration gimel, why did you say Gimel and not say the Aleph illustration, the second illustration? So the reason that you didn't say the Aleph illustration is Da'arivi Maya, because you can see the water mixes right under the fence. Well, Lamata Min Amayim Nami, even according to what you did accept as the explanation, Nami Ho'arivi Maya, is there not a mixing of the water above the fence, above the mechitza, as you can see illustrated in illustration Gimel? Omar Le, Abaye responds, Lo Shmia Loch Ho, the Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. You apparently did not hear that which Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, Umotu Bo Mishum Rav Yechia, and some say in the name of Rav Yechia, Tzorach Shiru Roshon Roshon Shokonim Lamalo Min Hamayim Tefach. In other words, it's not sufficient when we speak about Lamata Min Hamayim to have a mechitza like Gimel, but rather you have to have something like is illustrated in illustration Hay. Notice you have a mechitza, again it's a cross section, so you have the mechitza that goes down the entire water level, plus it sticks above the water level one hand breadth. So that in this case there is a true division of the water. If we take a look at Rashi here, Sheishka, retract and continue in the Gemara. Another question. Vesu, ha di omar Rav Yehuda. Lamalo is lamalo min hamayim. The Rav Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel had lamalo meaning above the water. In other words, the mechitza doesn't have to touch the water, just be above the surface of the water. My shno lamalo mamish deloi. Why, in interpreting lamalo, you did not say above, near the surface of the pit, but rather you wanted it to be lower in. Why did you not say lamalo meant way up, within the surface, within the edge of the pit? The arivi maya, because, well, if you had a fence made like illustration base, the water mixes. Well, lamalo min hamayim nami ho arivi maya. Even when the fence is made like in illustration Aleph, namely the second illustration, there's still a mixing of the water. So once you're, if you create the impression that you're not concerned with the mixing of the water, then you could have just as well said lamalo means lamalo mamish, up near the surface of the pit. Omar le, so Abaye answers, Lo shmi'alo ha detoni yankiv karchino. You, in asking this question, apparently did not hear the teaching that was featured by Yankiv Karchino. The source that he taught says, Tzorach shi'ishka roshe konim b'mayim tefach. And then that means that the fence that we make above the surface of the water isn't exactly merely above the surface of the water, but the lower edge of the fence, the Rosh Kunim, must be submerged into the water by a tefach. And you can see an illustration of this if you look carefully at illustration Vav. In that fourth picture, notice the Vav where the fence goes into the water a bit. And now, the Rashi that we wanted to look at before, you can see right across from here, Shishka Rosh Konim, HaTachtoinim, the lower edge of the fence must go into the water by one tefach, Ubaha Pligi. Here, there is a difference between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai bo mechitza mafsekis ad hatahom. Beis Shammai needs a mechitza that that descends till the very bottom. Beis Hillel bo heker mechitza, and Beis Hillel simply requires something that's recognizable. It appears as a mechitza. We continue. Vela. Ha, and we have brackets here, and the brackets are because that which is contained within them is not central to the issue of a mechitza regarding a pit, which is our topic. So, that having been said, we continue straight in the Gemara. That which Hodi Omar Rav Yehuda Kira Arba Materes Bechurba. There's an illustration of this, illustration 66. A beam that has a width of 4 tfachim is matir, allows the carrying within a ruin. And as we said, what's a more accurate, carrying under that beam. One can carry underneath a beam position like that. The two edges of the beam are said to descend and seal off the area under it. Being that it has a width of 4 tefachim, that's considered a location, an area of significance for which mechitzas can operate. The Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Bar Avua Koiro Arbo'o Materes Bemayim. This is more relevant to our discussion. A Koiro that is 4 tefachim wide can serve as a divider of a pit that's located between two domains that you can draw water from your side. Now, you'll notice there is an illustration of this. It's illustration 69. We continue at the top of Amud Beis in the Gemara. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, looking at Rashi at the top of the Amud Beis, Materes B'mayim, B'bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeras, a pit that's located between two courtyards, Unesuno Al Ruchavo Be'emtza Habor L'malo, and you have this beam placed across the top. So we say, Rav Nachman says that this is Matir, it allows the drawing of the water from each one's respective side. That having been said, the question is, Haka Ozil Dli Leidoch Gisa Umaisi. When I cast my pail into the pit, is it not going to float beyond the boundary established by this korah? And you can see an illustration of this, illustration 70. So the Gemara answers, and there's two stages of answering this issue. So we call this Aleph. Kim luhu l'rabbonim di'ein d'li mahalich yoyse me'arbo tvochim. It's an established, or it's a given by the Rabbonin. It's understood, it's a given by the Rabbonin, that a pail does not venture forward more than 4 tvochim. So once you have the width of the beam being 4 tvochim, the pail isn't going to go beyond that to the other side. The Gemara asks, Tachas Kira Miha Ha Arivi Maya. Illustration 71 shows you this, where the pail floated to underneath the beam. So as far as that being considered drawing water from the neighbor's side, true, we've solved that problem, but is there not a mixing of the water at that point? It's true my pail is not literally under, is not at the neighbor's side, but the water that's there comes from the neighbor. So why are we relying on this? Is there not the problem of Arivi Maya? Elo Mishum Dekal Hu Shekilu Chachomim Bemayim. Rather, there is a leniency, a well-known leniency that we apply to the realm of Mechitzos over water. The Rashi at the fourth line from the top says, "Elakalu shekilu chachomim b'mayim v'leso l'derav Yehuda," and we are not going to be accepted. This does not accept. This is not in conjunction with the opinion of Rav Yehuda that we had on Omid Aleph. Elak kidurav huna de Beis Hillel lamalo mamish koamri, but rather this conforms to Rav Huna's version of Beis Hillel that lamalo meant above, way above the water, just within the surface of the rim of the pit. So we continue in the Gemara. After having said that there is a concept of this kula, this leniency with regard to water, the Gemara goes along these lines, kidabo mine Rebbe Tavla Meirav. As Rebbe Tavla once asked of Rav, mechitza tluya mao shetatir b'churba, can a suspended wall serve as an enclosure, a mechitza for a ruin? Omar le, ein mechitza tluya materes ela b'mayim. This concept of a suspended wall is as being effective applies only to a wall over water. Kalhu shekilu chachomim b'mayim. There is a leniency with regard to walls over water. Omar Rav Yehuda, loy tehei mechitza. This is a quote from the Mishnah where Rav Yehuda did not have any need for additional walls built within the rim of the pit, but rather the wall that ran across the pit, separating the two courtyards, was sufficient. As you can see in the Gemara, we have should just simply say that Rav Yehuda was illustrated, as we saw earlier, in illustration 63. And we also have some markings that are explained on the side. We have a Nose, and Mivne heading. The triangles appear in two directions in this sugya. We have a Nisayon, V'achakach Dechiyah, an attempt, and later on a rejection, Laharois Hakbala, to attempt, we're initially going to attempt to show a parallel bein mechitza shal gabi bor mayim shebein shnei chatzeros the mechitza tluya shel sukkah, and the case of a suspended wall in the case of a sukkah, where a sukkah wall starts from the top near the schach and descends but doesn't reach the ground. The Gemara, and good note as well that we start with a long point and then there will be a long rejection. Omar Rabo Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw in our Mishnah with the wall running over the pit, dividing two courtyards, Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Omra. He developed his idea in line with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Omar, Rabbi Yossi, who says, Mechitza Tluya Materes Afilu Biyabosha, that a suspended wall is effective even in areas that are not water related. Yabosha literally means dry land. Rashi says, Mechitza Tluya Materes Af Biyabosha. You'll notice Rashi on the second of the narrow lines from the top. He says, Hilkoch b'mayim nami hein sorch shetireh mechitza asuya b'shvil hamayim u'besoch ognei habor. As a result of this idea of a mechitza tluya being effective on dry land, therefore there is no need for the mechitza dividing water to appear as if it's made for the water. Disnan. We continue in the Gemara, and eventually we will see in this Tanaic source, we'll see Shitas Rabbi Yossi. The source begins with an illustration, illustration 76 on page 181 of the Pirush Chai. Hameshalshel defanos mi lamalo lamato. One who's building a sukkah, and the word meshalshel has to do with lowering. So you're starting from above, lowering down walls in the construction of a sukkah, the defanos of the walls of a sukkah. Bizman shivos menorets gimel tvochem psula. According to this first opinion, which is not really the one we're focusing on in our discussion, but he says if there is a gap of 3 tvochem from the ground, the wall is unacceptable. And you can see there's an illustration, and the reason for its unacceptability is a result of that little animal in the illustration. A small goat can penetrate because of that gap of 3 tvochem. And a mechitza that can be penetrated by a goat, according to this opinion, is a non-divider or a non-wall. Mimata lamala, the next case, illustration 77. One constructs a sukkah with it, starting with the wall, from making it from the bottom, working his way up. Im gvos asor tvochem kshera. If the height of that wall is 10 tvochem, it is kosher, even though there is a large gap between the top of the wall and the roof, the schach. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kishem Shemi Lamata Lamala Asor HaTfochem. Rabbi Yossi says, just like you acknowledged a 10 tefach height wall when going from bottom up, Kach Mi Lamala Lamata Asor HaTfochem. So to a mechitza starting from the top, working its way down, if it's a total of 10 tefachim of wall, even though there's a large gap between the bottom edge of that 10 tefach mechitza and the floor, it's acceptable. This having been said, what we're trying to do is set up Rabbi Yehuda, who spoke about a mechitza over water, the pit between the two courtyards, and Rabbi Yossi in the case of sukkah. Just like Rabbi Yossi in the case of sukkah accepted the suspended wall, and that's why we dashed underline the end of the source. Milamalo lamato asora indicates acceptance of a suspended wall. So just like Rabbi Yossi accepts that, Rabbi Yehuda also is of that opinion. The Gemara says volohi, and notice the inverted triangle shows a change of direction, a reversal from this paralleling. Loi Rabbi Yehuda sovar law k'Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi sovar law k'Rabbi Yehuda. It is neither one holds necessarily like the other. And with our markings, we've squiggle underlined the beginning of each point. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sovar law k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda does not accept Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan lokam Rabbi Yehuda. Up till now, Rabbi Yehuda says his leniency with regard to the suspended wall, like in our Mishnah, Ella Beiruvei Chatzeros Derabbanan, where the whole issue was a rabbinic consideration, which has to do with this realm of courtyard division, Eruvei Chatzeros, the joining together or lack thereof in the case of a Chatzer, which is, as we say, is purely in the rabbinic realm of Halacha. Because on a Torah level, there's no problem in carrying from one courtyard to another. Simply, on a rabbinic level, we imposed a restriction. Aval Sukkah Doraisa Lo. But in the case of the construction of a sukkah, which is a Torah level area of law, so I will not be so lenient to allow a suspended wall, says Rabbi Yehuda. Velo Rabbi Yossi sovar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. And looking from the opposite direction, from Rabbi Yossi's vantage point, he doesn't accept Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lokum Rabbi Yossi elo besukkah de isur asehu. Rabbi Yossi accepts a leniency concerning a suspended wall in the case of sukkah, which is in the realm of a positive command. And in weighing mitzvos, if one can use that term, there's a concept that a positive mitzvah is less weighty in a certain sense than a negative command. So we should say not necessarily in just limiting it to a standard negative command, but in the case of Shabbos, which we'll see very shortly, has with it a capital penalty with it. So Rabbi Yossi says, I can afford, so to speak, to be lenient in the case of Sukkah, which is a mere positive command, where if one, let's say, doesn't keep it, doesn't follow it, doesn't perform it, there's no Torah legislated punishment for that. Aval Shabbos, the Easter Skilahu, however, with regard to laws relating to Shabbos, true that the specific case of Eruv Chatzeros is a rabbinic concept, but it's under the general heading of Shabbos, and Shabbos, as such, carries with it a death penalty of stoning. So, in a case like that, which is something that's Shabbos related, which is Easter, is called Easter Skilahu Lo Omar, Rabbi Yossi would not be lenient. V'im Toimar, and if you'll ask, what do you mean Rabbi Yossi is not lenient with regard to Shabbos related matters? There was an incident in Tzipori, it was a community, a name of a town, where they were lenient and relied upon a mechitza tluya, and Tzipori was a community in which Rabbi Yossi served as the head. He was the Rav of Tzipori. So, what do we see here? We see an incident in Tzipori, which is synonymous with Rabbi Yossi, in which they did rely on a suspended mechitza regarding a Shabbos matter. So, look, if you're going to say Rabbi Yossi is not lenient with regard to Shabbos, so who were they following there in the Tzipori story? The Gemara answers, they weren't following Rabbi Yossi. Lo alpi Rabbi Yossi naase, the reliance in that as yet untold Tzipori story, but we did mention that it was a Shabbos-related suspended mechitza leniency. It wasn't done, wasn't based on Rabbi Yossi's teaching, but Elo alpi Rabbi Yishmoel Rabbi Yossi naase. It was based on the son of Rabbi Yossi at a point in time where his father had already passed away, and his son happened to be lenient. But as far as Rabbi Yossi himself is concerned, his leniency of suspended walls, suspended mechitzas, is limited to Sukkah and not Shabbos. We have an angular brackets, and you can see the length of these by looking at the length indicator. The reason for this is explained on the side. There's a starred comment. So, Grayim Alolu, these angular brackets, Einom L'shem Dilug, it's not for the purpose of skipping the text. Elo Boim Laharois, they're coming to show the Ad Kan Iker Masa Umaton HaGemara. The up till now is the basic back and forth discussion of the Gemara. In other words, we've come to a conclusion. The long rejection, technically speaking, ends here, and besoichom within the bracketed section, muvo hamaisa de Tzipori. We're going to now tell the story of Tzipori, the Tzipori story of relying on the suspended walls on Shabbos. So that having been said, let's continue in the Gemara. The chiosa Ravdimi Omar, when Ravdimi came, he told us pamachas. Once upon a time, and there's illustration 78 that will be of benefit for us. In illustration 78, you see a courtyard with a number of houses opening into it, and in one of the houses they kept the Sefer Torah, and on Shabbos there's a Torah reading, and the Sefer Torah was kept for security purposes in one of the houses, and before the Torah reading it should be in the shul. The problem here is that you have a courtyard where an Eruv Chatzeros was not made, so you cannot carry things in that courtyard from any one house into the courtyard. What are they going to do? So the Gemara will deal with whether they made it, and it will change its mind, rather they found sheets that were serving as a block between, as a separation between the house where the Sefer Torah is and the base Knesset, as you can see in the illustration of the shul, separating it, that house, from the rest of the houses, so that you don't have, in effect, a situation of a multiple dwelling when it comes to that side of the mechitza. And hence they could carry, relying on the suspended wall, carry from the house to the shul, carry the Sefer Torah. So let's now see this in the Gemara. We said that when Rav Dimi came, he said, "Pamachas shochuchu v'lo aviu sefer Torah bod yom." They did not prepare the Sefer Torah on Friday like they ordinarily did. They would prepare it, put it in the shul on Friday, so it's there for Shabbos. So now, l'mochar, the next day on Shabbos itself. Let's skip the brackets for a moment just to preserve the sequence of events in the final version. So we say, l'mochar, motsu sedinim prusim alu amudim. They found suspended sheets on poles. The Heviu Sefer Torah v'korvani carried the Sefer Torah from the house, being that that house was now not part of the rest of the chotzer, the mechitza being an effective separation. And they brought the Sefer Torah v'korubo and read it in the shul. Now we have this rounded type brackets, curlicue brackets, that we skipped. And now let's go back and read it. The lushan inside of this needs correction, which the Gemara just did. V'mochar porsu sadin al hamudim. The next day, realizing that they didn't have their Sefer Torah in shul, so it's now on Shabbos proper, they spread out sheets, or they hung sheets on these poles. V'avir Sefer Torah v'korbo, and brought the Sefer Torah and read the Sefer Torah in shul. Parsu, what do you mean? They spread out the sheets on Shabbos, the chatchila mi shari, to spread out sheets at on Shabbos. Is that allowed? The chatchila would mean for the first time, that the initial suspension of the sheets was on Shabbos. Is that allowed? Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to make a structure, even if it's of a temporary nature, you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos. Ella, so what really happened there? Motsu sedine prusim ala mudim. They noticed, they found sheets had already been spread out over the poles from Friday. They view Sefer Torah v'korban, relying on them, on the sheets serving as the mechitza, they read the Sefer Torah. And as we said earlier, this leniency was based on Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and not on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi, albeit he accepted the concept of mechitza tliya, but only in the case of sukkah, but not in the case of anything Shabbos related. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new form, a new marking on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We've noted the diamond whose tips are colored in, but in two different directions. You have a Nisayon v'achakach dechiyah, first an attempt, and then a rejection will follow later. Nisayon lomar sheshnei rabbonim omru dover echod beinyan hakala b'mechitza tliya b'mayim. Regarding a leniency, we want to say that two Rabbonim are of the same opinion regarding a leniency of a suspended mechitza over water. So as we say, the structure here is an attempt to parallel the two, and then later in the Gemara on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, from the first line, you'll notice there already a long rejection. The Gemara. Omar Rabbo, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Omru Dover Echad. These two Tanoim hold the same thing. Rabbi Huda Hodamoran. Well, Rabbi Huda, we already learned about that. We saw his leniency regarding the wall over the pit between two chatzeros, not requiring anything additional to serve as a division vis-à-vis the pit. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, what is his leniency regarding water? Disanya, we have a Tanaic source and also an illustration, number 80, and you'll find this on page 182 of the Pirush Chai. Illustration 80 shows us a board, or a plank of, we'll say, of wood. And the caption reads, "Gzustra sheyesh bo arba amos al arba amos." A gzustra is this plank that measures 4 by 4 amos. Each amo is 6 tvachim, so 4 times 6 is 24 by 24 tvachim. It's important to to make this conversion. So a gezustra that measures 4 by 4 amos, chokek bo dalet al dalet, you can make a hole, a square hole in the middle, measuring 4 by 4 hand breadths, umemale, and if this is positioned over water, so you can draw through this into your house. The water in under discussion is a realm called a karmelis. A lake, for example, or a wide river would be called a karmelis. It's a non-private domain. It's a rabbinic domain. And there is a rabbinic prohibition of drawing, of carrying from a karmelis into one's house. However, if we can isolate the water, the location of the water, isolate it and make it into a fenced-off area, making it thereby a private domain, separating it, so to speak, from the general area, the karmelis area in which it's found. So you can then draw from that hole into your house. So now let's see the let's see a little bit more about these dimensions before we, these statistics and sizes before we go into the Gemara. When we speak about 24 by 24 tvachim, if you carve out in the middle a hole measuring 4 by 4 tvachim, so the in the illustration you can see there are, that would leave imaginary slats of 10 tvachim on around all sides of that 4 by 4 tefach hole you made. And in your mind's eye, those become the walls, as you can see in illustration 81. Those slats with the dotted lines, if you can imagine like what children used to play with their cutaway games, cutaway patterns where you take a piece of paper and follow the dotted lines, cut along them and create something new. Here you would cut away these slats along the dotted lines and fold them downwards around the hole. And you'd then have, in effect, a hole measuring 4 by 4 tvochim surrounded by mechitzos 10 tvochim high. When you have a situation like that of 4 by 4 and a height 10 around, you have created a private domain. So water underneath that, as you can see in illustration 82, as it's being drawn, would be coming from a Rishus Hayochid. The Gemara. So now, we want to parallel Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we already said, spoke about the leniency of a or lack of a need, hence a leniency with regard to a wall over water. Desanya, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi Omer, Gezustra Shiesh Bo Arba Amos Al Arba Amos, this plank that has these dimensions, Chokek Bo Dalid Al Dalid, you can make a hole in the middle of it, measuring 4 by 4 Tvachim Umemale, and draw water from that hole up to where you are. And as we said before, you're not in violation anymore of going from a karmelis to a rishus hayochid. But rather you're going from a rishus hayochid to a rishus hayochid. Now, in reality, you didn't fold over anything. You just made a hole in the middle and relied on the imagined folded walls serving as a mechitza tluya and hence a leniency with regard to Shabbos, making Rabbi Hananya very similar to Rabbi Yehuda. Omar le Abaye. Notice the inverted, we can't say inverted diamond, but the shading in of the bottom of the diamond shows us a change in direction. Omar le Abaye. Abaye here is responding to Rabbah, who tried to parallel these opinions, and he says, V'dilma lohi, maybe not so. Ad kan lokom Rabbi Yehuda hasam, elo deomar gud ochis mechitzta. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the wall over in the courtyard over the pit, he was lenient there because all he had to say is Gud is a word meaning wall. Office is means descend. The wall that's already there simply descends in your mind's eye downwards. In other words, you have a vertical wall already in place, and all that you have to do is extend it in your mind's eye. That's easy to do. Avol, koif the good lo, but to fold over, and then once you fold it over, then say descend. This is illustrated in illustration 82, where you have the after the imaginary planks would be folded over. In addition to that, then you have to have it descend into the water, because it's not touching the water. So you have a two-stage process, kof, folding over, and then gud, descending. No, maybe that far. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't go that far. The ad kan, lo koma Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya hasam, elo biyama shel Tveria. Now this point will appear later in, not in today's shiur, but later in the perek, this will appear. The possibility is that Reb Chananya ben Akavya said his entire din of the Gzustra in the case of the Lake of Tiberias, the Yam Kineres, and there's an illustration 83 that accompanies this. And the reason he was lenient there was Hoyo v'yeshla oganim v'yoros v'karpifos makifos osa. Because the Lake of Tveria is already a kind of enclosed area. It's surrounded by a rim. Oganim is a rim, and there's an illustration of that in Aleph of 83, illustration 83 at the top of page 183. You can see there's a rim, and there are other enclosed phenomenon concerning the Yama Shel Tveria. There are cities. Yoros, Karpifos, there's an illustration of a Karpif there, illustration Bays in that diagram 83. And those are all Makifos, so all surrounding the lake. So there's already a great deal of enclosure in place. Avol Bishar Memoslo, but Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya isn't going to be lenient with regard to other. Kinds of waters. We continue in the Gemara with a number of different illustrations or cases of walls over water. Omar Abai, Ledivrei Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Following Rabbi Chananya's model, his case of the 24 by 24 tefach plank that could serve as a mechitza to allow the drawing of water. According to him, and you'll notice we have some double underlinings with numbers 1, 2, and 3. On the side of the Gemara, there are no say mivne heading. We've noted three efshorios nosafos, three additional cases. Litziras mechitza tluya al gabi mayim lefi shitas Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya al yedei gzustros o koros akufos, through these planks or boards, even they may be erect, pusos midalet al dalamas. And in the upcoming illustrations you'll see how we will be describing things less than the planks, less than 4x4 amos. Hamatara, he, the goal in all of these cases is litzor mechitza gavo asorat fochim beruchav dalet al dalet fochim, that the mechitza that we eventually form in our mind's eye using these boards measures 10 fochim high and 4x4 fochim in width. So now we continue in the Gemara, first looking at illustration 84. What we see here is a plank, and we don't need to create four walls. One of the walls is already there because we have a plank attached to the side of a building. Underneath this, as you can see in the illustration, there is water. So given that I have one existing wall, what do I need by way of dimensions regarding a plank? Another very important dimension or concept to be aware of in measuring is the concept of lovud. Lovud is something that is within three tfachim of whatever. So it's considered, when you have something within three tfachim, it's considered attached. So that even if there are gaps, if the gap is less than three tfachim, it's as if the gap is not there. So as we continue, noticing the diagram 84, the Gemara. Hoiso smucha lekoisel bepochos migimol tfachim. If you have a plank that's within three tfachim of an existing wall, tzorich shie orka dalet amos. We want to have the length of this board being 4 amos, or as we say, 24 tfachim. The rochba achad osar umashu, and the width of this 11 and a mashu tvachim. Now, if the width is 11 and a mashu, it's 11 plus, and it's within 3 of the wall, so I will have, by taking the 1 tefach plus, and combining it with the fact that it's within 3 tvachim of the wall, and then I have that 1 tefach plus folded over. Now you can see this if you look carefully at the illustration. The hay indicates this 1 tefach plus section of the board, and the dotted line means, like we said earlier, cut along that and then fold it downwards, and you have a 1 tefach plus of actual board folded downwards in your mind, plus the fact that it's within 3 tefachim of the wall, giving me 4 by 4 tefachim. And all I really have to do in actuality would be to carve out where you see the little ches is located. You carve out that little spot, and you've made what you need. Once you carve out that spot, that you're going to carve out 1 tefach and a mashu, and you're leaving still along that width of the board 10 tefachim, which will also fold down. 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which will fold down. And I've created what I need. In effect, what we saw in illustration 81 is now is created here as well. And if you look at illustration 85 at the top of 184, page 184 of the Pirush Chai, you can see what we've just done. So let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara, as you can see, is quite terse, hence you need all of this explanation to accompany. We have another case, illustration 87. Here we have a board that's already upright, and it's positioned opposite a wall. Hoisa zekufa. The board is upright. Tzorch shehe gavoa asara tvachim. It must be 10 tvachim in height. The rochva vav tvachim ushne mashuin. The word mashuin is simply the word mashu in a plural. So the width of the board has to be 6 hand breadths and 2 mashus, 6 plus 2 mashuhus. And again, the Gemara is quite terse, but if this board is positioned within 3 tvachim of the existing wall, and as you can see, you're going to have 1 tefach on a mashu on either side of the board, and it will fold in, leaving 4 of width where it is. And you've got the 10 of height, and you have what you need. And you can see all of this is provided for in illustration. You can see this in the illustration. If you look at illustration 88, so you can see how this is carried out. We continue in the Gemara. Omar of Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. Hoisa oimedes bekeren zovis. Notice illustration 89. You have an upright board that's in the it's positioned over water in the corner of a building. So I have 2 existing walls. So I'm not going to need to have a 6 tefach wide board as I had in the previous case. And again, the board is within 3 tefachim of the wall. So what do I need? Tzor she gavoa asor tvochim. The height must be the standard 10 tefach. The rochva shnei tvochim u shnei mashuin. The width of the board must be 2 handbreadths and 2 mashuhs. That's 2 plus 2, so to speak, 2 tefachs but an additional 2 mashuhs. Just to go over, maybe it's the obvious, remember the board is 3 minus a mashu within the close to the wall. So it's, you need to have one more tefach plus a mashu to create 4 tefachim. So if you look at that illustration, you have the board 2 plus tefachim in width. You'll then create what you can see in illustration 91 by folding it, so to speak, in your mind's eye, leaving one and a tefach mashu facing you, and the other will be another one tefach and a mashu perpendicular to that, creating the right angle, which at that point it's also within 3 tefachim of the wall after it's folded in, and you've got your 4x4 10 width and 10 tefachim in height. We continue in the Gemara. The Alaha de Sanya, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Oimer. What about the original source where he appeared and he said, Gzustro shiesh bo dalet amas al damas, choykeg bo dalet al dalet umemale. Hechi mishkachas lo. In the last cases where we've double underlined and number them 1, 2, and 3, we've demonstrated you don't need to have a board measuring 24 by 24 tefachim. We were able to get away with much less. So the original case of Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, under what circumstances was his case of the board measuring 24 by 24 tefachim? Where is that? Answer, the avido ki asita. That's a case where the board is not attached to any existing wall. It's rather as an asita. Asita is literally a mortar in which you crush spices with a pestle. But what it means is that the board is standing independently, something like an oil platform in the middle of the sea. It's an independent structure, as you can see illustrated in 92. So if you have something like that, you don't have the benefit of any walls nearby, so you've got to create all 4 walls. In order to create all 4 walls and the hole in the middle of 4x4 tefachim, you're going to have a board measuring 24x24 tefachim, or as the source says, 4x4 amos. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you would like to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.